Hare Krishna, everyone. Well, we're back. Although we've been back for a while, but went on lovely parikramas, and which I don't know. I mentioned some, but since I put it extensively on podcast and also spoke at different times. Gotta give me my half glasses from in there. I won't say so much about it, except just in principle how, you know, we're here in Mayapur and we live in real luxury. It's in one sense not India. This has got very little to do with India. It's sort of just the west on top of India. But there's a real different world out there, which is still village life. Of course, city life, Indian city life is sort of like city life everywhere, although it's got its own unique features. But if you want to really see India, go into the villages. And when we were in Ramakeli, which was visited by Lord Ramachandra in his time, that's why it's called Ramakeli. And of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went there. It's up straight up north from here, about 5 hours drive. So weather is very, very nice, very cool, very pleasant. And it was the place where Lord Chaitanya met Rupa Sanatan Goswamis. It was the capital of Nawab Hussain Shah, who then was the emperor of Goa, which included what is now Bangladesh and West Bengal. So very large area. And you've been there? Ramkeli? There are beautiful ruins. There are buildings that are not in ruin, that are still. That gives you sort of a scope of just the size and the authority that these kings must have had in order to create such buildings at that time. Of course, they had slave power, so you don't have to pay them anything. And if they die when they're working, well, that's all right. You just get some more slaves. That nowadays, not so. Although in India, there's still quite a bit of slave trade or similar to that. You see these ladies carrying bricks on top of their heads. That's like almost slave trade, slave labor. Still, it's a village. There's hardly any cars. Half the houses are mud houses. There's no big edifices. There is absolutely there's electricity, but aside from that, there's no real. It's not like Vrindavan. There's no tourism. There's no guests. There's no guest houses. There's no. The closest you could stay was about 20 minutes drive away. And the whole village is just all Goshas. Goshas means they're cowherd men. So this village is like flooded with cows. There's herds and cows coming and going all day long. And the places of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's visitors, just some, and Rupa Sanatan are also there. They're easily accessible. Pujaris allow you to take photographs, and you don't have to call anybody. When they see you, everybody says Hare Krishna. They say Hare Krishna. You don't have to say Hare Krishna. They say Hare Krishna to you. And everybody knows Lord Chaitanya. So it's a very, very wonderful atmosphere. And this is Malta district, which is very famous for mangoes. So there's nothing but mango trees. I mean, there's a lot of different types of trees here. There, like, I mean, not Ravenkele, but everywhere we were in the state, the whole state is just one big mango forest. Huge, huge, big mango trees. So you can imagine what it's like in May and June over there. So very, very, and people are, as I said, they're very Krishna conscious. They're very Gauranga conscious. They're very nice. No one harasses you for money. So it's a, and there's nothing else but the people, their homes, and their cows. That's all there is. So it's really, really reminiscent of lots of villages we used to visit like 50 years ago. So the devotees are going, some devotees are going on Sunday to Eka Chakra. That was like that when I first went. No electricity. One bus came there once a day. That was the only contact with the rest of the country. Very, very wonderful. But from what I've heard, because I haven't been there for about 30 years, from what I've heard, it's significantly changed. We're going to, anyway, we have...
When are you leaving? Oh, you just got here.
Did I just get here? I'm the first. I'm leaving. I'm supposed to be leaving on Saturday.
Why? Where are you going? You going back?
No, I'm going to come back. That's
So I'll just... we've gone as far as chapter 9. So we're going to go to chapter 11, the universal form. And out of that, I'm going to select one verse, as we've been doing. Boy, I've really been trying to stay above the sort of flu that's going around. We're going to do 54, verse 54. So you can turn to that and have a short class. Om Jnana Timrandasya Jnana Tanashvataya Chakshuram Litam Jena Tasmaya Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Vedanta Shri Vasudeva Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I just mentioned that because if you have opportunity, then go. Conditions were very austere. When we got to Kanai Nath Shala, that was even, that was the second place that we went. It was also quite austere, quite cold by comparison to here, right over the Ganga. So the wind blows over the Ganga. Ganga is very cold and sort of a little different. I mean, we have the Jalangi. Ganga's a little ways away. Now, if you remember, in chapter 10, Yadyad Vibhutimat Sattvam Srimad Urjitva Eva Krishna has revealed his Vibhuti, his different potencies, how Krishna can be seen. That he says that on anything, extraordinary power, extraordinary beauty, that is Krishna. In other words, the most of something, because Krishna is the most. So when you see the most of something in the material world, then it's something to remind you of Krishna. Of course, Krishna's so much more. Aishwarya, Samagra, Virya, Yasa, Shriya. So, but here he says, Yadyad Vibhuti Mat Sattva, Srimad, Ujitva, Evava. So, anything beautiful, anything powerful, then it's a Udipan, it's something that represents Krishna. And then Krishna goes through a whole list of things. And then at the end he says, Atavam Bahunaitena Gingyatena Bhavarja. So what's the use of all of this? Because what I'm telling you is just sort of a manifestation of one expansion of an expansion of my expansion. So it's just a spark of my splendor, Prabhupada translates. Arjuna's curious. He says, well, what is this form you're talking about that manifests all these vibhutis everywhere? So then Krishna shows the universal form. In Prabhupada Lilamrita, it's written how Srila Prabhupada, even as a young boy, he used to read this 11th, he really liked this 11th chapter, and he would sit in the school library and read it there. Universal form is described almost in a compulsory way in all Shastra, because it gives a transition for materialists to accept God as having a form. And so Arjuna says, well, I'd like to see that form. He says, let me see that universal form. So Krishna says in the beginning that Dadamiti Chakshus Yoga Aishwaram says, you can't see it with the eyes that you now, but I'm going to give you Divya. I'm going to give you spiritual eyes, so that you can then see this form. And then there's a description. Part of the description is the narrator. Part of the description is Arjuna saying what he sees. And ultimately it becomes too much for him. So it's just, it's very interesting. He says that this form is such that if you look at one place, you see everything. That's like saying, if I look at Shivaram Swami's finger, I see all of Shivaram Swami there. So this is what he's saying, that everything is in one place, and yet at the same time, it's also everywhere. So, and quite mind-boggling, because in all dimensions, up, down, am I sitting, am I standing, where's the chariot, where's the Kurukshetra, none of these things exist anymore. They're just one little part of this plan, Krishna's plan, and it's playing out over the stage of this universal form. So Arjuna, who's willing to fight with Lord Shiva, he gets scared. He says, okay, I've had enough. Withdraw this form. So then Krishna first shows a forearm form, and then he shows his two-armed form, which is described in the previous verses. He says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, having spoken thus to Arjuna, displayed his real forearm form, and at last showed his two-arm form, thus encouraging the fearful Arjuna. So very interesting that Arjuna is fearful. So then Arjuna's very happy that he sees that form. But Krishna says, my dear Arjuna, this form of mine you are now seeing is very difficult to behold. Even the demigods are ever seeking the opportunity to see this form which is so dear. The form you are seeing with your transcendental eyes cannot be understood simply by studying the Vedas, nor by undergoing serious penances, nor by charities, nor by worship. It is not by these means that one can see me as I am. And now, okay, how can you see that form? So now, Krishna says the following. Let's chant this together, because time is short. Bhakya tvananyaya sakya ahamevam vidvarjuna gyatum drashtum cha tatvena praveshtum cha parantapa. So then Krishna says, my dear Arjuna, only by undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am, standing before you, and can thus be seen directly. Only in this way can you enter into the mysteries of my understanding. So what does Krishna say? Undivided service, this ananya bhakti is elsewhere. Yastu ananya sakya. So undivided means as anyabhilashita shunyam, jnana, karma, dhanavritam. Divided means that it's not divided, it's not diluted by karma, by jnana, by yoga, but it is pure devotional service. Can I be understood as I am, standing before you, and can thus be seen directly? Only this way can you enter the mysteries of my understanding. Now I'm going to read part of the purport, because we got a 4-page purport. Krishna can be understood only by the process of undivided devotional service. He explicitly explains this in this verse so that unauthorized commentators who try to understand Bhagavad Gita by the speculative process will know that they are simply wasting their time. No one can understand Krishna or how he came from parents in a four-handed form and at once changed himself into a two-handed form. These things are very difficult to understand by study of the Vedas or by philosophical speculation. Therefore, it is clearly stated here that no one can see him or enter into understanding of these matters. Those who, however, are very experienced students of Vedic literature can learn about him from the Vedic literature in so many ways. There are so many rules and regulations, and if one at all wants to understand Krishna, he must follow the regulative principles described by authoritative literature. One can perform penance in accordance with these principles. For example, to undergo serious penance, one may observe fasting on Janmashtami, the day on which Krishna appeared, and on the 2 days of Ekadasi, the 11th day after the new moon and 11th day after the full moon, which really means 2 days of Ekadasi per month. So here, bhakya to ananyaya sakya. The word bhakti, we use the word in a very generic sense. I think we've discussed some of this before in the past. There's the castor tree. The castor tree is very small. In fact, Prabhupada would use this saying that in a barren land, the castor tree is considered significant. In other words, where nothing grows, if you have a castor tree, what you get castor oil from, or it's a plant, then that's considered to be a big tree. But there are, that's a tree, and then we saw some enormous banyan trees, phenomenal banyan trees, and that's a tree. So they're both trees. But in one sense, they're absolutely incomparable, although they're of the same class, same classification. So bhakti means not only pure devotional service, but it means pure loving devotional service, which means it means the perfectional stage of love of God. And that's bhakti, that which motivates. So shevanam bhakti ruchate. How does it start?
Sarva
upadhi vinid muktam tat paratvinani. Rishikena rishikesha shevanam bhakti ruchate. And here Krishna says bhakti tvanyanya sakya. He says by devotion. What is that really? Well, in Brahma Samhita, it's given in clearer context what bhakti means. Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena. That bhakti means prema bhakti. And the activities of prema bhakti are service to Krishna, which is motivated solely and wholly for Krishna's pleasure, because of Krishna's sweet personality, or you could even say in Vaikuntha, because of Krishna's greatness. In any case, that's bhakti. And activities that resembles that, they're also called bhakti. So, you know, you see a big tree and you say, now that's a tree. You know, you come and you see a castor plant, and all right, well, I guess if science tells us that it's in the same category, it's in the same category. So, but nothing in comparison. So, what do devotees do who have real loving devotion? They chant Krishna's names, they engage in Krishna's service, they hear about Krishna, so the same activities that they do. And what are devotees, or what are those who want to attain that perfectional stage, what do? Well, they do the same thing. But how they do the same thing? The one is done out of a desire to love Krishna, and the other one comes naturally out of love for Krishna. So there's a real world of difference between the two, and yet both of them are called bhakti. So what is Bhagavad Gita about? Knowing Krishna. So here the theme is, and Krishna has repeated over again. We read before, matapparataram nanyat. There's nothing superior to me. Nothing superior to me means that's it. So, mata parataram na anya. There is nothing else that is superior to me. Sutre mani ganaiva. So, such a beautiful explanation, comparison. Krishna says, just like a necklace of, we wear beads, tulsi beads, but necklace of pearls, he says. What keeps the necklace of pearls together? The string. You don't see it, but pull it out and you'll see the result. Everything falls apart. So similarly, what keeps everything together? Krishna is that which keeps everything together. Pull him out, well, even the pearls would disappear because Krishna also is the substance of the pearls as well. So, but here, the understanding, how is it that Krishna can be known? What is that yoga? And we have gyatum drashtum chitasthena apraveshtanam panantata. And in the next verse, Krishna says, he who engages in my pure devotional service, free from contamination of fruit activities, mental speculation, who works for me, makes me the supreme goal of life, friendly to every living being, he certainly comes to me. Again, Krishna points out that by devotional service one comes to Krishna. So to know the absolute truth, to know Krishna, Param Brahma, Param Dava, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavam. So then Arjuna is already establishing, yes, you are the Param Brahma. Now how do we know this Param Brahma? Then bhakti. It's here, it's just very simple. And this is not the only place. We'll see this being repeated from earlier on and on to here. So no question that when people try to interpret the Bhagavad Gita, that it says this, it says that, it provides different paths to the same place for different people. It provides different paths to the same place, that same place is bhakti, to somehow or another bring people to the association of devotees. And when people associate with devotees, then they will acquire bhakti. But that is the same place, somehow or another, that one should meet Vaishnavas. Just like when Adhikarta Prabhu was saying that before. I mean, you know, if you want to know mystic power, you meet somebody out of nowhere, you talk to him for an hour, and he gives up his life, and all of a sudden he becomes a devotee. I don't know how often that happens nowadays, but in our day it happened a lot. Mm. You just meet a devotee and okay, let's go, where do we go? and just go. So that's real mystic power, that's the empowerment or the potency of devotional service, and that is what Krishna wants to bring everybody to. Whether you're, you know, you have all these yogis at Kumbh Mela, what's the benefit of devotees going to Kumbh Mela? That they give their association to all of those people there. There may be people doing so many mystical things, one should not get bewildered by that, thinking, oh wow, what a great saint, and so on. They are meant to be associating with devotees who come there to hear the holy name, to take prasadam, to take books. That's why Srila Prabhupada went in 77 to also to Kumbh Mela. So, bhakti, only by devotion. Krishna's the boss, and he says, this is the only way you come to me. This is the only way you come to him. You can't argue with Krishna. Perhaps you've had that experience in life. When Krishna wants something, then it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you want. Krishna always gets his way. May as well just get used to that. And you can pray as much as you want and do so many other things. But when Krishna is determined this is what's going to happen, then that's what's going to happen. So here he says, only by undivided devotional service, this ananya bhakti, ananya, no other thing, anya. Anya means other. So ananya means no other thing. There's nothing else other than this one thing. I, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchati. I want to serve Krishna's senses. I don't want to serve my senses. I want to serve Krishna's senses. Standing before you, and by doing that, Srila Prabhupada encouraged, you can see Krishna face to face. You can see God face to face, standing before you. How? But you have to have this. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. So, Jam Shyam Sundaram Achintya Gunaswarupam. That is what we need. Jam Shyam Sundaram Achintya. Then you can see Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada also concludes because it's in this chapter. In summary, the universal form of Krishna, which is a temporary manifestation, and the form of time, which devours everything, and even the form of Vishnu, four-handed, have all been exhibited by Krishna. Thus, Krishna is the origin of all these manifestations. It is not that Krishna is a manifestation of the original Vishnu, Vishvarupa or Vishnu. Krishna is the original of all forms. There are hundreds and thousands of Vishnus, but for a devotee, no form of Krishna is important, but the original form, two-handed Shyamasundar. You have to pick up one sentence, Srila Prabhupada said. And Prabhupada says this very clearly. This, Raghunath Das Goswami was also explaining that we should not divert our devotion to other forms of Krishna. So what does Prabhupada say? No other form of Krishna is important. Important is a very significant word. He's saying the devotees don't consider anything else important other than Krishna. Yam Shama Sundaram Achintya Gunasvarupam. In Brahma Samhita, it is stated that those who are attached to the Shyamasundar form of Krishna in love and devotion can see him always within the heart and cannot see anything else. One should understand, therefore, that the purport of this 11th chapter is that the form of Krishna is essential and supreme. Very clear. And then, if one takes one step further, then one will understand that actually for a devotee, nothing else other than the form of Radha and Krishna are important. But Bhagavad Gita just touches on Daiviyesha Gunamai, just touches on Srimati Radharani indirectly. So we'll move on to the 12th chapter. Which is entitled Devotional Service. Tomorrow is what day? Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow I won't be here. I'm meeting with Devamita Maharaj and so on in the evening. But anyway, we'll continue Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Hare Krishna. Jai Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Jai Nitai Go Premanandi, Hari 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 Go. Okay, thank you very much, everybody.